yesterday's homily, you may have not noticed, while it was about hope, I was trying to slip in charity into there. Because charity is defined as friendship with God. So as I said yesterday in the Sunday homilies, when we hope in God, that is the beginning of that charity. Well, today, we will continue with the virtue of charity, this union, this friendship with God. Now, when we have friendship with God, we start to be changed. We get transformed for the good, just like any other friendship. When you meet new friends, you start to like the things that they like. I remember in high school not really liking classic rock, and then I started to have friends that liked classic rock, and gradually I started to like those things as well. Well, with God, who's much more than classic rock, when we begin to have a relationship with Him, we start to be conformed by Him gradually. We begin to become more and more like Him. We begin to love as He loves. And He invites us more and more through that love into communion with Him, through sharing with us His divine life, through His presence in our soul, which we receive when we come to the sacraments. Now, in knowing if we have this presence of Christ in us, if we are living in this charity, we should remember that, as I've said before throughout this homily, throughout this novena, emotions are not usually reliable guides to tell us if we have this friendship. And since in this life there's always a temptation to love not as God loves, but as the world loves, how do you actually tell, then, if you are in the presence of God, if you have this presence? While we can't always know clearly, we can have a sense by knowing certain effects of that charity in the soul. And St. Thomas Aquinas, the great theologian and philosopher Dominican, lists these three principal ones as joy, peace, and mercy. But again, since we are in the world and we are always tempted to avoid charity and to move towards the world, there will always be counterfeits for this joy, this peace, and this mercy. False joy, false peace, and false mercy, which come not from love of God, but from self-love and fear. Today, we will look at these effects and their counterfeits. So joy. Joy is what we have when we finally possess the good we long for and delight and rest in the possession of it. Like the embrace of two lovers who are away from each other for a long time. When we have charity, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, when we possess Him, our hearts are filled, we are complete. We begin to love with that fullness of love, even creation, the love of the world. We love the world with its proper order, in the proper context, seeing God as the source of the lovability of everything in the world. But true joy in this life will not always feel complete to us. True joy will always be folded with the cross in this life. We will have access to this joy, yes, and it is real. But as long as we live in this carnal world, we are always pilgrims marching towards heaven, still longing for union. But we can experience that joy in part in anticipation of what's to come. This separation, of course, is only apparent to us. In reality, when we have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, when we have that charity, God is actually intimately united with us. We just do not see it because of the weakness of the flesh. But at its fullness in heaven, that fullness will be overflowing. As St. Paul tells us, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what things God hath prepared for him that love him. we will obtain more joy in heaven than we are capable of desiring right now. It will be overflowing. This is true joy. But there's a false joy. And this principally comes from trying to make temporal joys into those eternal joys. When we have these false joys, we convince ourselves, either intellectually or in practice, that these things of the world can replace our eternal joy, that our joy cannot be more than what we have on this earth. False joy refuses the cross and demands that we reach fulfillment by another means, which is a futile enterprise. False joy will tell us to put our lives on here on earth first, and our future life in heaven second, third, or not at all. We avoid any sort of pain that comes from embracing the cross, and thus we, like the wicked and slothful servant, bury the talents that God has given us in order to not experience the cross's bitterness, which must be part of every Christian's life. We must not be deceived by counterfeit joy. Only through love of God can we have true joy. Peace. Aquinas defines peace as the tranquility of order, which we get when our hearts are united with God. That is the true peace. Think of it as the calmness that comes when everything is in the proper place. And this can only happen when we are subjected to God. When we do not have the charity in the soul, our passions, our desires are always at war with us. We strive for different and lesser goods with the hope of satisfaction, with the hope of something more, but we never arrive at that. Sin, ignorance, our fallen human nature fights against itself as it tries to obtain that tranquility, but never finds it because it can't find it. But when God infuses us with this charity, when we live by the truth of our faith, we are able to begin to put these passions and desires into order. We see the larger picture. And while we might struggle in the beginning to maintain this peace, while there might be occasional rebellions, the friendship God offers you brings you peace, because you have been given the fullness of what you truly desire, even if you do not see it fully. When we are at peace, we have rest. But false peace deceives. It looks at times like true peace because true peace has this sort of oneness of mind. We're all subjected to the same thing. But false peace does so without being subjected to God. We look at an order without God and say, this is fine. But without God in the center, false gods will always come to replace him. We become ruled by fear rather than truth. Another sign of false peace is avoiding any conflict, even when it becomes necessary. When you're called up to stand up for Christ in the public forum, whether in the truth of the faith or Jesus disguised by the oppressed in our society, false peace tells us, don't do anything. It'll just make problems. An argument or debate might unfold, and that's not going to be very comfortable. False peace. Fact is, we must be a sign of contradiction in the world. And that sign of contradiction always means some sort of conflict. We are defenders of the truth. And when we contribute to the false peace, we end up collaborating with those who do evil, who speak peace to their neighbors, while in their hearts is mischief. We must be willing to get into that true peace, to be freed from the false peace, which will sometimes be difficult. As Pope Francis says, true peace always is wrapped in the cross. We must not let the dictatorship of sin convince us that we have true peace. Finally, one of the effects of love is mercy. That is, when we love as God loves, we begin to be merciful as God is merciful. We feel that way in which God loves. People who are in love learn to begin to love the same things as their lovers, even when those things are difficult to love at first. You see this especially among people who are getting more serious about the relationship and they begin to meet the perhaps future in-laws. And you begin to try to love those in-laws because you love the person you're in a relationship with, right? It can be difficult, it can be a cross, but it is something that we try to do. That is the same thing when God infuses charity in you. You begin to love God's family as God loves, including those who are suffering from lack. When we have charity, we become sorts of missionaries of charity. God sends us out to be charity in the world, seeking to go to every dark corner, every place where God's light doesn't shine, to shine Christ's light even to those who are our enemies. This is an effect of charity in your soul. When you show that compassion to those in need, the love of God, and that comes from the truth of the gospel. But there's a false mercy. False mercy, like false peace and false joy, always seeks to avoid the cross. Like a mother who, out of a sense of false compassion, does not teach her child good manners or discipline them, we can also be consumed by false mercy. When our works encourage people in their sins and vices rather than draw them out, that is false mercy. Christ tells us that mercy is to comfort the afflicted and feed the hungry, yes. And there's many other works of mercy. But there's 12 other corporal works of mercy, and some of them include teaching the ignorant, admonishing the sinner. We have to be okay with the discomfort of mercy sometimes. Like providing drugs to the drug addict, false mercy is not true love. But it is selfishness and fear and reluctance to be disliked, to be uncomfortable. And we see that mercy is always grounded on truth. And we see this description, this deception of mercy in our time, especially in the killing of innocent people. What do those people who justify killing the unborn, the terminally ill, the elderly, the disabled, what do they say? They justify it as a sort of mercy killing. They would have suffered too much. They would have had bad lives. It's not worth keeping them alive. False mercy. This is the diabolical nature of false mercy. It uses mercy for murder. They speak mercy, we might change that psalm, they speak mercy with their neighbors while in their hearts is murder. Like Judas, we betray our neighbors and our God with a kiss. True mercy does not avoid the cross. True mercy knows that the cross is what brings us true joy, true peace, and true mercy. Brothers and sisters, do not be deceived by the false love of the world. Friendship with God is his presence within us, which brings us true communion. As God shares with us his divine life, the life of beatitude. This means we must love as God loves. This means not being deceived by the false loves of the world, which seeks to love ourselves without God. Let us ask our Lord to come into us so that we may love as God loves, that we may love ourselves as God loves us, so that we may be true witnesses of that love, and thereby be true friends of God. Only then can we have true joy, true peace, and true mercy. Amen.